I'm really excited for you guys today because you're not going to hear me preach. I'm really excited because Chrissy, my wife, is actually going to preach. Yeah. So, yeah. And so advice that I always need and should follow, but I'm going to also give to you guys, is listen to Chrissy, right? So, but seriously, like what she has to share, one of those times where it's very individualized, it's very personal, and yet it has this universal truth in it. And so while you're listening to it, it'll be easy, like there's a story there, so it's easy to get just wrapped up in the details of that story. But be thinking about, what's the principle for me? What do I need to do with God based off of what I'm learning? Okay, so without anything further, thanks.
Thank you, babe. Good morning. You know, he's learned a thing or two in our years of marriage. That's right. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you moms and to all of the women that have impacted our lives. Thank you for that. Today is a really sweet day and a really awesome day to get to say thank you and to get to reflect on amazing women that we have had in our lives who have invested in us and poured into us and loved on us. But I also know that that's not all that today is. And I think about Jesus, and I think about different moments when he was in a crowd of people much like this, and celebrations and joyous days, and you know, there were always hurting people in that crowd too. And Jesus, it never took away from the joy to acknowledge those that were in pain. And he had this amazing capability to be able to find that one person and to go to them and make sure that they knew they were seen and that they were loved in the midst of everything else going on. And I have been that person on Mother's Day. It still brings about a joy and an ache. And I feel as though Jesus wants us, wants me, to make sure that all of you who may be having an ache with this day know that you are also seen by him in this. And I believe that he once would do the same. Maybe you are here today and you are someone who has lost your mother and your mom is no longer living and you miss her, especially today. I want you to know that Jesus sees you. Or maybe you are somebody who has a broken relationship with your mom. I want you to know that Jesus sees you. Maybe you're the mom who has a broken relationship with your child. I want you to know that Jesus sees you too. Or maybe you are like me, and I have two sweet babies in heaven, but I don't get to have them here with me today. And you have an ache. I want you to know that Jesus sees you too. Or maybe you are a mom who goes through this day with someone else raising your children. I want you to know that Jesus sees you too. Maybe you are a single mom and you are juggling it all and you feel so overextended and tired. I want you to know that Jesus sees you today. Maybe you are a woman who is standing in the gap and you are being the mom without receiving the title. I want you to know that Jesus sees you. Or you may be like so many women that I know who are in the painful waiting period, waiting for your miracle to become a mom. Jesus sees you today too. And maybe you are here and none of those specifically apply to you, but you are facing a hard challenge. You come here today with an ache in your heart that is just as real and deep. Jesus sees you today. He is glad that you are here. I believe that he has something here for you. And so I want to challenge you as well as myself to put away, put aside, lay at his feet the ache in your heart, the situation that you're facing, all of the distractions that may be tugging at you, to put them aside and just lean into him today. I thank you that you are here. I know I have spent many a Mother's Day not in church because it can be painful to be here. So thank you for being here. And I believe God will bless you for it. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this day that we get to acknowledge moms, women who have impacted us. God, I pray right now that you would help myself and everyone in this room to just put things aside, focus on you. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, I have prepared what I think you want me to speak. But Lord, if there is something else for me to say, Holy Spirit, you take over from here. Let me just be the vessel. You do the speaking. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I wanted to share with you something that God really challenged me with. With this notion that sometimes the hardest moments that we go through in our life can really prove who we love the most. And I think the best way to start off with who should we love the most is just to go straight to the Bible and see what God says about it. And so that's what I want to do. I want us to go ahead and turn into scripture to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. And there it says, "And God spoke these words, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me.'" Now, there are a lot of commandments in the Old Testament. The most important and the most well-known are the Ten Commandments. And, you know, nothing is in the Bible by accident. It is everything God wanted to be in there is in there. It has a purpose. And oftentimes, things that come in a list, we need to take notion of how they are listed out. Things with numbers, all of those things, God speaks through those. And so I know that it is not by any coincidence that the first of those commandments was that we should have no other gods before God. And it's critical for that one to be the first in order to maintain the other nine and to do anything with our life. And Jesus even talked about that later in one of his teachings. And so I want us to look there now in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. It says, "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.'" So you've likely heard this before, and you wouldn't be surprised to hear it today, that in church, we're going to tell you that you need to love God more than anything else. But that is obviously much easier to say and much easier to tell someone than it is to live it out. And it's especially hard to do to live it out when you are going through a very hard time and a very painful time. So I would like to share some of my life with you. I want to talk to you about something that Jake and I face. If you've been at Maywood, you may know that Jake and I have twins, a boy and a girl, who are 2.5. And over the last year, Kariana has been faced with a lot of health issues. We've gone through a number of different tests, procedures, hospital stays, but it all kind of led up to what God really spoke to me in October. And during this time, whenever he was speaking, we were hospitalized for the second time in the month of October. And it was over the course of this, well, it was over a week that we were there. She was diagnosed with croup. She was hemorrhaging in her lungs. That is part of her condition that we know now. The vessels in her lungs bleed internally. So that was happening, causing it to be difficult for her to breathe. So she was on oxygen due to that. They didn't know what was going on. At first they thought that it was a blood disorder, and so we had gone through a number of testing and all sorts of genetic stuff with that. And then they thought for a little while that it could be some form of cancer. We did testing on that. It wasn't that. And so they don't know. And so they are doing some of these procedures just to see what could it be. And so the procedure that she had that week is called a bronchial lavage, which sounds very kind of nice, but it isn't. It sounds very fancy. And what it is where they put her under and they put water into her lungs and then they suck it back out for the purpose of seeing if blood comes out with it. And that's how they would know if her lungs are hemorrhaging. And she was. And so due to that, her blood counts are going down. She also had to have a blood transfusion. And she was at a very fragile time during this hospital stay. And I try to go back to what it was like. And I remember so vividly just feeling like you're just spinning. You know, your head is just spinning. And it reminded me of this game that I'm sure I'm not the only one that played this as a kid. You know that game where you get a bat and you like put your head on the bat and you like run around as fast as you can and you spin and you spin and you spin and then you, I'm not gonna, oh, just that was like, oh. It was way easier at seven, but you feel exactly the way that I just did. Did anybody else play this as a kid? Yeah. And then you always laugh at the people that stumble over. Except that God doesn't laugh at us when we stumble. Because what was happening was I was felt like I was just spinning. Doctors would come in, doctor after doctor. And at Children's Mercy, it's a teaching hospital. So we're talking teams of people. 10 or more sometimes. Gowned up. Not always agreeing. Telling you things that you already know, or sometimes we're telling them like, we've actually already had that done, and you're trying to keep it all straight, words that you don't understand, trying to take it all to Jesus, but it is terrifying. And all the while you're just spinning. Your heart is spinning, your mind is spinning, physically you're completely out of whack because you're sleeping at the hospital or trying to go home to be with our son too, and you're spinning. And I would just pray, God, I need you to make my footing stable. Because just like when I was spinning around, you get a little off kilter. And that's how I felt, is that I just couldn't get secure. And so God did what God does. He grabbed me by the shoulders and he held me. And he said, go this way. This is what you need to do. This is how you don't fall. But how funny is it that when God does that so often, then we say, I don't want to do that. Because God did. He got a hold of me. He helped me. He spoke. He made sure that my feet were secure so that I could go down this path. But what I didn't want to do was what he was going to ask me to do. Because you see, that same week that my daughter was in this hospital stay again was this conference that I go to every single year. It is a conference that I need for my development. It is a conference that pours life into me. And as you could probably imagine, I don't want to go. But I need it. It is a time where I put aside all of my responsibilities. It's powerful teaching. It's powerful worship. It's a time where I can just say, God, here I am, undistracted. What will you have of me? What do you want to teach me? Change me. And I'm there for him. But how do I leave my sick child? My child who, they have been very clear with us, may be headed into the pediatric ICU, depending on how she does. Is that fragile? And I was praying about it. And friends that I would talk to about it were like, yeah, totally understand why you would not go. This is a lot going on. And as I was praying, I so clearly remember being in the car, likely on Truman Road, if you were here way back in December, and praying and probably crying and saying, like, God, I help. I can't go. And he said, choose me first. Love me more than her. And it was like a punch to the gut. I said, God, I do. I do love you. You do come first. I love you the most. Don't you know that? Like, I'm willing to do whatever you want. But clearly, God, I mean, this, I cannot leave her. She needs me. I have to be here. And God said, no, you stay. You love her more than you love me. I want you to be with me. trust me to take care of her, and you come and be with me. And so I just remember crying and telling God, like, Lord, this is the biggest sacrifice I think that you could ask me to do right now. Because it wasn't even a local conference. I had to go away for it. I remember just being like, God, really? Like, leave my sick kids. Leave my other child, who is we are asking so much of. Leave my husband to try to deal with it all. Ask even more of our family. We have a great support system, but Lord, this feels excessive. And I was just thinking about all of these things. And then it came out like, God, like, I feel like a bad mom. Who would choose to go? God, I fear I look like a bad mom. And isn't that so interesting? When God points us in the direction he wants us to go, and he is speaking so clearly, the enemy gets in and just starts to twist. You don't want to look like a bad mom. You don't want to feel like a bad mom. You shouldn't go. And that's what was happening. The enemy was just twisting just a little bit, hitting me on those buttons. No, I don't want to look like a bad mom. I don't want to feel like a bad mom. And I knew that there would be judgment. I knew that some people would not understand. I was having a hard time accepting it myself. But I had this pressure in my heart that I had to do it. And as soon as God told me that I had to go, I knew I was going. I had to, but I didn't want to. And I even asked at one point, like, Lord, I'll go, but please make it a little easier. If she just makes a turn for the better, it'll be a little easier to go. God didn't do that. In fact, her turn of doing better didn't come until I was on my way home from the conference. And I firmly believe that God wanted me to make that sacrifice, to choose to do the hard thing and put him first in the moment whenever there was no easy road about it. Will you choose me when nothing is looking like it's going right? He wanted me to show them that I put him first. And I want to go back. I want today that you not just hear my story, that you hear what God says about it. So I want to go back and I want to read part of Exodus again. You shall have no other gods before me. You know, God doesn't give an asterisk to that. There was no, you shall have no other gods before me except your child when they're sick. There's no fine print that says, no other God before me, put nothing in my place except when things are really hard. No other God before me except for when you're really stressed out or when you are really feeling the walls pushing in, then that can trump me and being with me. It doesn't. It says, Exodus 20, verse 3, you shall have no other God before me. Period. Ooh, that can be intense. Yes, thank you, Jesus. And when we do that, everything else can fall into place. And I want to read, highlight a few verses from Matthew again. Chapter 22, 36 through 39. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the first and greatest commandment. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. There's a reason that he said all three of those, and not just all of your mind and all of your heart. Because your heart can say one thing and your mind can say the other. We have to give them all to Jesus. They all have to be his first. You know, I think back to spinning around to this on this baseball bat. And, you know, I was spinning and spinning and spinning. And God pointed me in the right direction. And he did that. He didn't ask me to leave my child to be mean. He didn't ask me that. To do anything but love me. Because God knew when he put my feet secure and he said, choose me first. It was because I need you to hear me, Chrissy, and you can't hear me in the hospital because you're hearing doctors and you're seeing your child and you are worried. But I have something that I need to talk to you about, and so you need to come with me. And he did that because of how much he loves me, because he knew what I didn't know is that in December, a little further down that road, we'd be in the hospital again. We would spend Christmas in the hospital. Kariana would have to get a lung biopsy. She'd get a port installed in her chest. Our way of living would completely change. She was going to have treatments for the next 6 months. It's very scary. She's diagnosed with a very rare autoimmune disease that, quite frankly, they just don't know a lot about. He knew what was ahead of us. I had no clue. And if I would have tried to stay in what I thought was best by being a good mom, I would not have been prepared for what came, because God totally set me firm when I went to the conference in October. I was able to withstand the blows that were going to come towards us in December. Had I missed my opportunity to be with God and to put him first, don't think that I would have come out so spared. But all I had to do was love him with action and sacrifice and put him first. So I want you, real quick, as we close, I want you to take a look at this picture. This is my sweet girl. You can see why I didn't want to leave. This is right before she went in for her procedure. And you know, it was excruciating to leave. All the fears and the what ifs and not wanting to look a certain way and knowing deep in my soul I'm doing the right thing, but it doesn't feel good. But you know, God didn't just want me to be obedient in that moment just for me, because I have this little girl in my home and I have her sweet brother in my home who I need to raise to know who God is. And if I do that with my words, but not with the way that I live my life, I am not doing it. I need to raise a little girl who grows into a woman who knows what it's like to follow God and who is willing to go where God tells her to go, regardless of how hard it is. And you know, I love her more than you can imagine. God loves her even more than I do. Here's the thing. God tells me I have to love him even more than I love her. What is that for you? Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's completely something else. Maybe you are here today and you are just feeling the wounds of what this day is. Give it to God. You know, and I want to say one more thing, especially to the parents out there, to the moms, with this being Mother's Day. The best gift that you can give your child is loving God first and loving him most. Because that second commandment was that you love other people as yourself. Boom, that's your children. That's your spouse. That's your neighbor. That's your enemy. God doesn't ask you to love him most so that you don't have any love left to give. He asks that you love him most because it's when you do that, he lavishes love on you, and it is out of that overflow of love that you have the love to be a good parent, you have the love to be a good spouse, that you have the love to be a good employee. Whatever that title is that you hold, you get the capacity to love well with that only when he comes first, only when you love him with action. And I will tell you, I'll be the first to admit I fail on a daily basis, but I'm trying to make sure that I love him first because I want to raise my children to know how to do it. So Daniel's going to come up and lead us in our response time. And I want to give you an opportunity to put this into practice now. An easy opportunity to choose God first. And it's simply by doing this. Stay here. Stay in this moment. Stay in this room. Don't rush to whatever the day has left for you. We all have things that we have to do. But stay here. Whatever it is that you brought into this space today, God wants you to give it to him. You're not here by accident. Choose him first now. Maybe there will be a number of people up here that you can pray with. Maybe it's coming and receiving prayer. Maybe it's spending time just worshiping God and telling him you do have that spot. Or maybe that it's telling him, God, you haven't had that spot, but I give that spot back to you now. Show me what to do with that. But don't rush out. Stay in this moment. Choose him now for practice of how to choose him later, especially in those hard moments. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for how much you love us. And God, I thank you that the reason that you want us to choose you first is just because you love us that much. That in all of our sin and griminess and mistakes, that you say, yes, I want you just the way that you are. You are who I want to be with. Thank you, God. God, I pray that you would continue to shape my heart and everyone else's heart here to make sure that you always have that first place spot that is only yours. Show us how to make sure everything else comes under that. God, I pray that you would just continue to speak in this time. God, you are not done. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.